if I recall, what's going on here is the infrastructure bill, and I follow a lot of sane people and a lot of insane people on the Twitter, like most folks do. And there are some...
And one side calls the other, right?
Yes, that's so, right. Yes.
I'm saying you're insane or vice versa. Right.
Right?
I get it.
But, you know, the new thing I see is someone saying, you know, dog walking is infrastructure or something to that effect. Infrastructure's meaning has seemed to have changed a little bit. I think that that's kind of where we are right now is from your business standpoint, it's infrastructure is not what it used to be, right?
Well, it's just an expansion of infrastructure. I mean, you can look at the great cities of the world, and you know, going way back to the Egyptians and particularly the Romans, everything was infrastructure, right? They had to build it from scratch. So, yes, traditional road, you know, all roads led to Rome. You know, Rome was known for its infrastructure, but it was also the first to take that traditional road and pathway and turn it into more public health things like, water supply and sewage and, you know, everything above and underground. And now infrastructure can include buildings and, you know, infrastructure includes a lot of things. But for us, infrastructure has traditionally been very traditional because we supply, you know, concrete at the end of the day. I represent the Cement Association, but the key component of concrete is cement. So the two go hand in hand. It's traditional, but if you look around, a lot of our products are used in everything. So it could be a bike path, a path through, you know, the park or whatever. All those things are somewhat infrastructure, but for us, it really is the traditional infrastructure, and it's that traditional infrastructure that is failing, and then there's the future infrastructure, right? The stuff you're going to need for broadband and those type of things. Maybe the easiest way to tie it back are the things that move products and people, commerce, that affect our day-to-day lives that we would never be able to afford on our own, right? But it's something that being part of a society or a government allows you to spend on things that are necessary. And infrastructure has always been necessary. And it's something that the government always has to take a role in because I can't go out and pay for a road myself.
Right. And we're seeing that here, Michael, in that we've got Interstate 81 that goes up and down the spine really here of the western part of the state. And they're talking about a couple $1 billion of fixes. I mean, they're not talking about the ultimate what everybody thinks the road needs. They're talking about just, you know, targeted fixes are still just going to cost an astronomical amount of money. And this comes on the heels of us knowing that, you know, we're still driving over bridges that were built 60 years ago, if not more, that, you know, we get reports every year, hey, your bridges are falling apart. And there seems to be a lot to be done.
Yeah, there is a lot to be done because it's been somewhat neglected for a long time. Look, these things last for a long time. In any part, I think, of any infrastructure that's built or going forward, it shouldn't be a Band-Aid approach, right? It should be built for something that is going to last. And not only last, it should be resilient. So, you know, Harrisonburg is a beautiful place. I've been up 80, I've lived in West Virginia, and I've lived in Western Maryland. I've been up and down 81. I've used that road a lot. So, you know, it's about moving, you know, it's about moving commerce. And, you know, the United States back in the 1950s was just a series of state roads, small state roads. It was the infrastructure system which really catapulted us. And we haven't done much since that. In the meantime, you're watching places like China that have literally invested billions, trillions of dollars on their internal infrastructure. And now they're doing their belts and roads initiative, which is kind of like the old Silk Road where from an economic standpoint, they're connecting with Europe and they're connecting with Africa. They know that it's a wise investment because it's near term, it creates jobs, obviously, but long term, it allows us to move people, commerce, military troops wherever we need to efficiently and effectively. I guess it really gets down to that other thing you were talking about, was the money. You know, how do you pay for it?
Well, and I think we've seen so much money, or I don't want to say so much money, but basically our state transportation department is spending a bulk of its money on just maintaining what it has.
Yes.
So I feel like the legislature says, well, you're doing a good job of filling the potholes and keeping everything, you know, running, but no extra money to say, hey, all these people you've packed into this city now need more roads, or they need better roads, or they need, you know, it hasn't kept up.
Yeah, it's fixing the roof on a dilapidated shack, right? There's so much where you, okay, now's the time to build a real house, right? It's that certainly is an issue, and when you start looking at still the amount, and it's not just the vehicular traffic or the people that live there. You see it in 81. It is a major interstate commerce route, right? So you're seeing more and more truck traffic going up and down. You know, we're at a place with truck traffic that it's not too far in the near future you're going to see autonomous vehicles. And you know, I think you've got to look at, okay, do we need to invest in things like dedicated truck lanes to move them out of the traffic, out of the local traffic, so that they can move up and down the roads different from vehicular traffic, which makes it safer, faster. You know, how much time do you guys, I'm sure there are people listening to this that are sitting on the highway, right? They're sitting in traffic.
Always seems to be.
How much, when you just look at the time that people are in traffic and they have to sit and wait, and you add up all that money, particularly on the, you know, the American Trucking Association has done it. They're big proponents, obviously, of improving the infrastructure, because, you know, every hour that truck's sitting in traffic, that's hundreds, if not thousands of dollars that each of those trucks are losing. So, you know, there are economic reasons to do it. There are quality of life reasons to do it. And I think there, you know, is the world changes and we see, again, not so much perhaps in Harrisonburg, but if you're living on a coast or you're living, well, you are living, you know, somewhat near, you know, the forest, but not a dry tinder forest. You know, you need to build this back so it's resilient. It's resilient to hurricanes, to weather, to, you know, to fires, so that it's lasting. You know, it's durable. Obviously, a nice concrete road will last over 100 years, but it still needs, as you said, fixes. But fixing it after a while, I mean, there are certain roads you go in the country and it's just potholes. It's not road anymore. It's just this connection of potholes that have been filled in. And then after a few weeks, they seemingly are potholes again. So, yeah, Band-Aid approach is okay, but I think we've got, you know, a longer-term issue that we have to do. And again, 80%, most polls show that 80% of Americans believe that we need to invest in infrastructure. And I would say there's always 20% of people that don't believe in anything, right? So I would say that is it. It's try to find a poll where 80% of people believe in anything, you know, beyond apple pie, mom, and Chevrolet for the commercial list.
Right.
But, it's a lot of people that see the need. I mean, it's not a partisan issue. When it becomes a partisan issue is how to pay for it. So typically we pay for this with a thing called the gas tax, right? We still have a gas tax and it's 18.4 cents a gallon for gas and 24.4 cents a gallon for diesel. That rate has not changed in 27 years. It was last raised in October of 93 and it is not indexed for inflation. So
nor is it indexed for what your mileage your car gets these days either.
Right. So it's a double whammy. Exactly. So you're using $93, which is about, you know, is inflation's been 80%. So it's, you know, a lot less money and then people aren't filling up as much. So there's that double whammy. So that is certainly one way to pay for it. The, you know, there's user fees. And then the debate in Washington, D.C. sometimes is, okay, now with electric vehicles and other people using the road, should we go to a vehicle miles tax or then a gas tax? And there are alternatives there. But the other thing, of course, they're talking about in Biden's plan right now is more traditional, right? This is an important thing. Let's go fund it out of the national coffers, in a sense, out of tax dollars. So you're seeing that discussion happening right now, obviously, and that has become the political football, and it's been the political football for a long time. I mean, for the past, I don't know, how many years have we had infrastructure weeks, right? Now every day is infrastructure day, and everybody wants it, but no one can agree how to pay for it, and that's, you know, and then it becomes a political football. Where, you know, we certainly hope there's a compromise there. There's certainly a number of different ways to pay for it, and that's probably what they'll argue about. And, of course, they will probably, my guess is, get closer to defining infrastructure more typically. You know, and I think some of the other programs that have been lumped in there will probably be taken out and done in another bill or another way. I think, again, my hope is that this gets back down to more traditional compromise in the good old days. You know, you still do that. You don't buy most things. You don't go in the grocery store and negotiate, but you do when you buy a house or a car, right? You go and you make an offer, they make a counter. You don't walk away when the counter's outrageous. You know that somewhere in the middle is the way that is the path forward, where everybody wins a little bit. Well, we've been in a win-lose government situation for too long. There are some really great groups in Washington, D.C. that don't get a lot of press that work for the middle. One's called the Problem Solvers Caucus. That, again, it's not real sexy to talk about people working towards solving a problem in D.C. It's more interesting, I guess, to talk about the fringes. But I have a lot of hope that they can get it done, because this is a huge need for the United States. I mean, in a time of COVID, what better after COVID, and then we transition out of COVID, what better way to boost the economy, to create jobs, to get us back going, and not just for the short term, but for the long term.
Yeah, I was going to say, people have been sitting in their house and working from home. Once they get back out there, and I used to live just outside D.C., and I used to see the people heading towards 495 every morning, sitting on one of the roads, and I thought to myself, I couldn't do that every morning. And once they go right back to that same gridlock and that same insanity, I mean, are they just going to say the heck with it?
Well, I think, you know, you are going to see, I think, a lot of companies will most likely go to a more flexible schedule, where they will have days where people come in and maybe some days where they come off, which is certainly going to, I think, help traffic. I'm with you. I live in Annapolis, and our office is right down by the hill, so I go through that, or I used to go through that every day. COVID has been a respite of the traffic, and it's given me actually more hours in the day to work, but you know, you kind of miss that camaraderie. But yes, I think so. But it you know, it hasn't. One of the things, obviously, getting back to the trucks and in heavy traffic and those type of things, you know, the interstates didn't shut down. You still had to move materials up and down. You still had healthcare workers and emergency responders and everybody using those roads that we had. So, you know, maybe the plus side is we'll have less traffic, but we're still going to have increased traffic, particularly heavy truck traffic, that type of traffic. So
no,
I think we'll be using it, but it has been interesting during COVID.
Yeah, I don't miss taking 97 into Annapolis. I don't miss driving through Crownsville or any of that stuff. So I'll leave that to you, and I will enjoy my commute here. Because
I don't blame you.
But I really appreciate the time, Michael. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I will say, you know, I could talk and talk forever about this, but if your folks want to find out more, it's faster, safer. I'm sorry.
Faster, better, safer. Yes.
Faster, yeah, bettersafer.org. And look, if, you know, call your congresspeople, your house, your senators, let them know, you know, if you support infrastructure, then they need to figure out a way to pay for it. They all agree that it's important. They just need to sit down and hammer out a way to pay for it, right?
Everybody has good intentions.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, have a great day. And again, I greatly appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.